Roseanne is canceled and Tommy's in jail. This one might get a little political, dudes. I like to keep this podcast funny and family-ish. Not family-oriented, because there's lots of swearing and sex and stuff, but like pro-family. I think I'll do one on how... I don't know, I have to be very careful saying this. My son is dying, but he's not dying. Just calm down. But the concept of your kid is dying. This is what the podcast is going to be about, and then I'll get to what it's going to be. I'm kind of obsessed with this thing with my son, who's 5. His personality is going away because he's growing up. So the little dude that's sitting there, that funny little 5-year-old who says things like, "Hey, Dad, what if you were walking on this banister upside down on your hands? So you were doing a handstand walking along this banister, and then you jump from the banister to this car, and then you jump back off the car onto the banister, but you hit so hard your arm fell off." That's a question he asked me the other day. I love that guy. I like hanging out with him. I like answering his questions and hearing who his favorite superheroes are and who his best friends are and stuff and how the order, you know, changes. But that person is going away. Like, for example, my other boy, he was super into the Ghostbusters, obsessed. I mean, from Super Sculpey to Paper Mache, he's made about 100 Slimers over the years. He was really into art projects. Now he doesn't do projects, doesn't make anything artistic. It's just baseball. So the Ghostbusters Dunky Lunks, is gone, dead. He'll never see him again. Isn't that weird? I mean, your friends don't really change. Over the years, they rarely even switch politically. But even if they do, they're still that person. But not little kids. There is very little 9-year-old Duncan has in common with 5-year-old Duncan. And the way Johnny, my 5-year-old, he thinks that he's into anteaters and he thinks they eat, quote unquote, turd bites. So he thinks a termite is called a turd bite. Now, it's only a matter of time before someone tells him termite, and I'm going to fucking kill whoever tells him. But the kid who thinks if you spin around a lot, you get really busy because he doesn't know the difference between busy and dizzy, that's going away. And even when he was a baby, because he's my last one, when I was changing his diapers, there was nothing remotely gross about it. The other two, you go, oh, great, you got shit everywhere. Now I got to clean this up. But with the last one, I was like, this could be my last little turd that I ever deal with as far as diapers go. And then one day that happened. The last diaper. Bye, baby. The 13 million views on how to fight a baby. That little baby's gone. Goodbye. And my little 5-year-old, his little personality. Soon he'll just say, "Hey, Dad, can you drive me to baseball?" Gone. Little kid is gone. Sucks. Jerry Seinfeld says, they don't grow up so fast. Usually when they're like 9, I was kind of getting sick of them being 8. There should be that way for about a year. He's fine with everything. I kind of agree with him. Like, once they stop being the little kid, the cute kid who gets words wrong, it's not that bad. 9, 10, 11, 12 are all basically the same. But 5 to 6, it's a bummer, man. What a drag it is getting older. So in the news, saw the news today. It was talking about... what's her name? Meghan Markle, the one who married Prince Harry. Her mother was shopping the other day, and she was just wearing cheap shorts from Target. That was a full-page article on Daily Mail or something, with tons of pictures of her wearing not expensive shorts. Fuck, imagine being that journalist. Like these two childless spinsters who wrote an article for, I think, Salon about how one of the guys from The Bachelor occasionally likes... not tweets, but likes a potentially transphobic tweet. Nope, can't do that. There's so much scrutiny on the right, especially white people, where they can just do no right. And meanwhile, actors can sit there talking about how they want to kill Trump. I mean, it took decapitating Trump and having blood dripping out of his neck to screw up a liberal actor's life. But Roseanne, I bet the writers hated her. And the rest of the staff was just, well, I'm sure the rest of the actors were just happy to have a gig, including her black granddaughter. But she said, Valerie Jarrett looks like Planet of the Apes and Muslim Brotherhood had a baby. Now, the DNC is in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood in a disturbing way. Way too much. And we know that Obama was not kind to Israel. So Roseanne hates him. And Valerie Jarrett was Obama. She lived in the White House. She lives in his fucking house right now. She used to decide who comes to dinner at the White House and who has to sit over there and who can visit Obama and what Obama gets to say to whom. She was the Rasputin of the White House. And now she's in his house today saying who can sit where. What a pussy he is. It's because, you know, you saw him riding his bike with his little helmet on with his mom jeans. His dad left, so he's just like a little lady. Child of a single mom. Sorry, guys. It takes away your testosterone. So, Roseanne, Muslim Brotherhood, good point. And she said Planet of the Apes. Now, Roseanne's old. She's probably 67 or something. So, her Planet of the Apes is the one that we saw as little kids. So, when she says Planet of the Apes, she doesn't mean the ones now where they really look like apes. She means the Charlton Heston 1970s one. And I think she's speaking specifically, because I believe this crossed my mind too when I saw Valerie Jarrett. She's speaking of Dr. Zira is her name. And that was, I believe, in the very first Planet of the Apes. Let me just look this up here. Dr. Zira, by the way, was played by a white woman. I guess that's irrelevant. Let me look her up here. Dr. Zira. I'll figure it out later. See how going to a computer ruins the conversation? Hey, people in bars, stop pulling out your phones. Actually, why is your phone on the bar? Put your phone in your pocket. Again, the great Gerald Seinfeld had wisdom on that, where he said, I don't care what's on your phone. Don't show me. I don't care if you met someone from outer space and you have a picture on your phone. I don't want to see it. Just tell me about it. Zira, Planet of the Apes. There she is. Yes. So Zira doesn't look, I guess she does look pretty monkeyish, but there's a newer one, a Dr. Zira that doesn't look anything like Valerie Jarrett. But if you go back to the 70s, you kind of see she has the same hair and everything. And Valerie Jarrett doesn't look black to me. In fact, I've joked in the past that she looks like every race in the world combined. She looks like a little possum or something. But Roseanne, and you got to just say one thing. That wasn't remarkably sophisticated to say that. Because you should sort of know the climate we live in, which is kind of fascist, and know that if you say ape, gorilla, or anything remotely in the same room as a black person, you're gonna be trounced. Sometimes, and it's in all of us. Like sometimes the waitress will ask you how you like your coffee, and she's black, and you'll say, "Not black." You're like, "Are you mad?" By the way, does that piss you off? Because I don't need milk in it. I can just have sugar. If you would prefer me to have black coffee. We always used to joke about some guy who masturbates to black on white porn. And then he tells some black dude, like, hey, man, was just beating off about you the other day. Big fan. Big, big fan. Like the black guy's going to go, holy shit, thanks, man. That's awesome. Did the guy have a huge dick? Yeah, it was huge. Probably same size as yours, no doubt. So I was basically watching you get off. So that was cool. Oh, thanks, dude. Now, that's a ridiculous situation, but it's kind of happening in sort of, you know, HuffPo bloggy type of atmospheres where they probably say, if you only masturbate to white porn, you have racist tendencies. I saw gays were getting in trouble a couple years ago for having racial preferences on their dating sites, like on Grindr or whatever. So now you're racist if you're not sucking a black guy's dick. That seems kind of high standards, does it not? I don't want you to be a slave. I don't want you to have any different rights. But do I have to perform sex acts on you to prove my open-mindedness? I saw Dr. Zira, the Planet of the Apes doctor. I looked her up, and she's been compared to people all over the place. Everyone basically weird-looking has been compared to Dr. Zira, including Tan Mom. And by the way, Mark Dice put up a tweet that had about 50 examples of Trump being called a gorilla, Trump being compared to various apes. So as my wife pointed out, it's kind of racist that your mind immediately goes there. Like that, remember that controversy where the black kid was wearing a shirt and it said something like funnest monkey in the jungle or something like that, coolest monkey in the jungle?
H&M, right?
Yeah, you don't have to find it, Dave. When I saw that shirt, I'm wonderfully non-racist, believe it or not. So when I saw that shirt, I just saw a kid that's called a monkey. Everyone calls their kids monkeys. They act like monkeys. All kids are monkeys. Mike Cernovich calls his daughter a little baby gorilla or something. They're always climbing stuff and shrieking and jumping around. So you just saw, yeah, he's the coolest monkey in the jungle. That's him. But liberals see that because they have racism on their mind in a constant loop. They saw it and they're like, oh, I see. So he's a monkey, is he? Would you give him a banana? Should he be in chains? That's probably what you want. Chuck D said that to me, the Public Enemy singer. I said, stop talking about terrorism, Chuck. You made a video where my head explodes. You love the concept of terror. Because he did that in a video. I'm sure you've seen it or heard about it, where it was like that Prophets of Rage band, and it was blowing up all the people he hates. And my head is in the video, and my head blows up. And Chuck D's immediate response, like all white liberals, was, oh, yeah, it was a watermelon, dummy, not your head. Technically, there is a fraction of a frame where my head is replaced with a watermelon and then blows up. So, no, it wasn't a watermelon. But he goes, it was a watermelon, idiot. And that's probably what you'd like me to be, in chains, eating a watermelon and having some fried chicken. Am I right? What? Dude, I don't have to go there. I got a million things I could make fun of you about before race. Race would be at the very bottom of the list, of the Chuck D make fun of list. Closer to the top would be the fact that Chuck D thinks the establishment created Flavor Flav's terrible sitcom to make Flavor Flav look ridiculous and to delegitimize Public Enemy, because Public Enemy was a threat to the state. Charles, none of the elites, nobody with power gives a flying fuck about Public Enemy or Prophets of Rage or Chuck D. You are totally mainstream, embraced by music magazines. Takes a Nation of Millions is constantly making top 50 albums, top 10 albums of all time. I think you're in the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, despite not playing any rock and roll. So you're not a threat to society, I'm afraid. You are an entertainer who dances around and sings songs that people all love, that are good, by the way. Fight the Power is a fucking jam. That beginning part. What was that, Terminator X? Every time I talk to Raheem Kassim from Breitbart UK, I just think of Radio Raheem playing that song on his ghetto blaster. Any his nods. You want to talk about someone who is a threat to the state, it's Tommy Robinson. But let's go back to the chubby Jew, Roseanne, who's awesome. But lady, you know that we live in an insane world. And if you have a joke with the word ape in it and there's a black person also even tangentially related to the joke, you have to know that everyone is going to go ballistic, no matter how innocent you are. I know you're not racist. I know that there's you have a black granddaughter on your show. I know that politically what you really deeply care about is Judaism and Israel. And I'm backing you on that. But you also have to know there are people out there. There are coyotes just drooling, salivating, waiting for you to trip so they can come in and bite your neck. And you tripped. And it sucks. Because my family was making that a tradition. I could finally watch a show with my kids that we all liked, that had become a family tradition. Every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, we watch Roseanne. And they were dealing, I mean, it was a little left-wing, to be honest. Their trans kid who likes to wear dresses on the show. But she was confronting the opioid epidemic. And I believe that's killed about 2 million Americans so far. I mean, we all know. Some. I saw a dude, this is many years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I saw just a dead guy on the side of the road, a at my place upstate, just lying there dead. I talked to the local cops, who I know, because they would also plow my driveway, which is a smart thing to do in small towns. Make sure the guys that work for you are cops, so you have a good relationship when you get caught drunk driving. And he said, I said, what's going on there? Oh, this guy OD'd at a party. They were all hanging out doing Oxy, so they just dragged his body over to the road. And I go, those dummies think that will work? And he goes, it actually does work. That's the fun thing when you talk to cops about stupid ideas. They go, that's worked. It's actually better to have the body out of your house. Or you know what else a cop told me the other day? That thing about, these aren't my pants, man. I just put on my cousin's pants. And I didn't see what was in them when they find crack in your pocket. A cop told me, yeah, that actually works sometimes. I said to him, what percentage of your day is listening to crazy, stupid liars? What percentage of what people say to you is true? And he said, well, as far as just basic run-ins, it's not that bad. But as far as like any dangerous situation, 100% of the time I'm being lied to. 100%. So because an elitist, one of the top, I think most of these presidents that you hate or love, there's someone behind them pulling the strings. Like in, can you look this up, Dave? Justin Trudeau hired this guy as his political advisor. He's got a funny name. Gerard Butts. There it is. Gerard Butts is Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau doesn't really make decisions. He doesn't write his speeches. He doesn't decide who he wants to meet or where he wants to go. Gerard Butts is in control. And Gerard Butts is clearly an imbecile because he's really making it bad for Justin. Like, Justin was getting made fun of too much recently. And so Gerard goes, you know what? Canadians love our multiculturalism, especially India, because they really assimilated well but retained most of their culture, sort of. So go there and just dance around and stuff. And then he did that and became an even bigger laughingstock. So maybe Gerard wasn't sophisticated enough to realize that this bumbling buffoon, this real-life Homer Simpson, is going to actually make things worse by going to India because he's going to wear a different costume every fucking day. With little dots, Hare Krishna dots on his head and namaste prayer hands with his whole family. Yeah, maybe Gerard is just like, this guy's too hard to manipulate. I mean, it's not that he's not manipulable. He's very malleable. But every time I sort of try to teach it something, it goes off on a tangent. Anyway, Gerard Butts controls Justin Trudeau. Valerie Jarrett controlled Obama. She was the real boss there. And so you don't offend her. Don't say anything bad about her. Even if something is seemingly almost racist, boom, show canceled within minutes. I don't know, from the tweet to ABC canceling Roseanne was seconds. That's because you don't offend the elites. You don't question the elites. You don't threaten the elites. And that's why they're elites. That's why they rose to powers, because they want that kind of authority. And this happened with Tommy Robinson, too. So here's what happened in Britain, and I talk about this on my show, but you don't have a prescription to it, because so you don't want to be medicated. England has had immigration for a long time, and it's good for them. They got a big wave of Jamaicans in the 70s when I was a kid. They got a big wave of Indians pretty much throughout time, but more in the 80s and 90s. Actually, I'm not even sure about that, but they've got lots of waves of Indian immigration. But those two groups came from Commonwealth countries. Indians are, and many Pakistanis, for the record, they are anglicized. They drink tea. They like classical music. They all play cricket. They get English jokes. And if you've noticed, when you riff with Indians, like Hindus, they're funny. They're good at riffing. That's rare. Like, and that's not a racial thing. Russians cannot riff. Chinese, go to China and tell me how many stand-up comedians are speaking Mandarin in China. I think there's one comedian in all of China, and he's white. He's a Canadian guy who learned Mandarin and does stand-up. And they're like, what is a joke? So humor is pretty impressive. That's like assimilation, gold star, and Hindus got it down. So I think maybe Brits got a little arrogant, the elites, and they go, yes, well, we've imported Jamaicans. And there was a bit of a row, you know. You maybe heard the clash on Guns of Brixton. But they did quite well, did they not? Working class person? Yeah, they did all right. Most of the geezers at my pub are black. My fucking granddaughter's black, actually. Of course, he's not around. Fucking geese. But, no, the Jamaicans did quite well. They got Guinness, Red Stripe. I like them. They like a good pint. And they're always at the soccer matches. Yes, and then we did the Hindus, the Indians. And I believe that was fruitful. You know, don't mind the Pakis. They did all right. They got corner shops. Thing about Pakis, please stop saying that. Oh, sorry, mate. You know, it's just a racial epithet. It don't even mean Pakistani. It means Indian. It just means brown person. I know, but I don't like it. Right. Take it easy. Sound. But the thing about Indians, they're not stealing jobs. They work the corner shop that wasn't normally there. And they work in rough neighbourhoods and shit. They got machetes when it goes down. But I don't got a problem with Indians. A lot of my mates are Indian. I'll tell you what. I'm at the point now when people ask me about British food, and I know it's a cliche to talk about food when you're talking about how much you love a culture, but I gotta say it. Having a kebab late at night, that's more British food to me than fish and chips. I cannot believe I'm saying it, but it's something about the way the curry soaks up the booze that every time I'm away and I'm missing home, especially when I'm on the piss, I'll think, God, I could murder a kebab right now. I could murder a curry. So they've moved in and they made it better. Right, well, this is why, and I'm a little low on votes. I'm concerned about the Tories. I'm concerned about Labour too, to be quite frank. And I think I'm going to start bringing hordes of Muslims. Nothing unreasonable. They'll maybe just take over Luton and some of the more soccer hooligan areas. Maybe they could neutralize some of these yobbos, some of these violent lads, like this gentleman, Tommy Robinson. I don't even believe that's his real name. Hang on a minute, mate. What are you on about? Well, I'm going to import lots of Muslims from various African countries, Somalians, and not from the Commonwealth, obviously. We don't really own any Muslim countries, but Pakistan, Somalia, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia even. I mean, you know, I was in Morocco. We would only go in the winter because the heat will scorch you alive. But I was in Morocco, and when you walk around the market, my wife was shopping for some carpets for one of our properties in Hertfordshire. And when you walk around the market, it's just so vibrant and alive. And oh, you should have seen me in there. I was bartering just like one of the boys. Oh, that's 3 rupees. Oh, that's 4. I am not giving you a dime more than 2. Meanwhile, of course, it's just a matter of pence. Threepence for most of these things. And I thought, let's bring this here. We could have vibrant markets. What do you think? No, you're talking about different things, mate. The Yardies were all boys. The Pakis are all boys. They go to matches. You know how many Muslims are at a soccer match? Fucking none, geezer. Go to the pitch. Right, there's some players. There's Muslim players, like about 5, but they weren't born in the UK. They're imported because of their skills. Which, by the way, they're playing our game. But you don't see a Muslim who was born in Britain becoming a professional football player. Why is that? Because they're not assimilated. This is a different group. Do you know what goes on with these fucking grooming gangs? They bribe them. They start out saying, here's some candy. Oh, I gave you candy. You got to show me your 11-year-old tits. And then they go, oh, I'm going to show this picture, everybody, unless you mess around with me. Oh, I'm going to tell everyone you messed around with me, including your family, if you don't mess around with my mates. Next thing you know, they're passing around a bird. Not even a bird, a girl, a young girl. They did it to the tune of hundreds and hundreds, thousands even. There's grooming gangs. It's a custom. It's a tradition. It's not an anomaly. Well, I think you're being a bit egregious, are you not? No. And the police aren't going to charge. You know what? I think you should leave. I'm not leaving. I'm trying to save my country. I'm trying to save England. Now, you're pestering me and you're preventing me from doing my job. Well, if your job's ruining Britain, then yeah, I am going to prevent you from you doing your fucking job, you cunt. Come here. Now, get him out of here. Out. Out. Get him. I'm not leaving. Yes, you are leaving. Goodbye.
and good riddance.
That got a bit heated, did it not? All right. I did not know about the grooming gangs. I assumed it was one terrifying incident. But here's the deal. The ship has sailed. That horse has bolted. So, what I think we could do is just start arresting people and never arresting any of these gang members and making, just avoiding it in general. I mean, obviously, if it comes out and everyone knows about it, then yes, we must prosecute them. But let's give them lenient sentences. Maybe we could say something like, oh, he didn't know the word for no, or he wasn't aware of our customs where we're very against child rape. And if anyone questions it, we'll just throw them in jail. Oh, Tommy Robinson was there, was he? You know what? I've had enough of him. He started a huge rally that Gavin McInnes, of all people, was at. He gave a terrible speech, by the way, thank God. But there was thousands of people there screaming this horrible football chant. It goes, hey, Tommy, 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 Tommy Robinson. That's it. They also have that, you know, songs like, who's that lying in the runway? Who's that dying in the snow? Or that, can you go a chicken supper, Bobby Sands? You know, horribly offensive songs, but at least there's some rhyme or reason to them. But this Tommy, 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 Tommy Robinson crap, it doesn't go anywhere. It just shows how primal they are. They're like cavemen. And cavemen have to be tamed. They're savages. And so, when we give them a sentence, we must make it harsh. And we must put them in areas where these Muslims are. Yes, obviously I regret bringing them here in droves, but now that we're here, we have to cover our tracks, obviously. So I want Tommy in jail. I want him in a Muslim jail. I understand we tried that already, and they threw boiling water at his face, which would have been perfect. But of course, being the yobbo that he is, he deked them out and delivered many fatal blows. Not fatal, unfortunately. Actually, yes, fortunately. So I understand recently that he was at a sentencing, and there was two gentlemen there who had raped many children, and he was rude to them. So we threw him in jail for a year with no trial. And that is what happened. Now, legally, I was talking to Ezra Levant about this on the show. And by the way, I've been talking to Tommy's people, and they're very standoffish. Don't raise money. Don't even... his lawyer was saying don't have the media ban lifted. Oh, yeah, that's an integral part of the story. The media were told they may not report on this case. That way no one will hear about it, right, elites? Is that how it works? Hey, Valerie Jarrett, why don't you tell Twitter they may not discuss the Roseanne Barr cancellation? So, but his lawyer, I think, was saying don't have the media ban lifted because I'm scared that Tommy's going to say something that's going to piss off a judge and it's going to fuck up his parole. All right. So, I mean, I think I could have raised $1 million. Canada, America, all my Australia guys that are calling me saying, I'm about to go on, you know, national television. I need a website to plug. And I go, I don't have one, buddy. I don't think they want one. There's even all these philanthropist billionaires who are happy to pay for legal fees of people when they really respect and admire them. And it's strictly about free speech and, you know, nuanced. And this is a very cut and dry invasion of his rights. But the media ban has been lifted, by the way. But I think it is technically legal. It was done under contempt of court. And what that is, you know, you're in court and someone keeps screaming and threatening to kill, say, someone who raped his wife or whatever. He finds him in contempt. And he's charged there immediately. But wait a minute, I don't think he's sentenced immediately. That's got to be unique. I don't know anything about British law. But hey, British lawyers out there, can you tell me of another time when someone was found in contempt, got it, normal, I'm not against contempt of court laws, but was instantly sentenced right there and then to a year, unable to speak to their lawyer. Now, I understand being charged, unable to speak to your lawyer, that's contempt of court. But getting the sentencing, all right, now I'm getting boring. Sorry, that's not funny. But he's in there. It's looking like a year. There's people rioting in the streets. I'm telling you, man, If Tommy gets a black eye, if Tommy stubs his toe in there, Britain is going to lose its fucking mind. You know, a couple years ago, he was known as a soccer hooligan Nazi because Britain is so left-wing that if you say Muslims are predominantly populating these child rapists, that sounds like it's racist because it's mean towards Muslims, so you're a Nazi. The end. Truth be damned. But over the as these rape cases got more and more prevalent, now Tommy is pretty mainstream. I don't know who to compare him to in the States. Almost like a right-wing Michael Moore. Yeah, but Michael Moore doesn't really rally the troops. I don't know. I'm scared to compare him to anyone, really. But like people see him on the street. Hey, Tommy, you're right. And Scotland, too. Scotland and England aren't friends for the most part. But he goes to Scotland, screaming matches. You're what, Tommy? When he got attacked by Antifa, these black guys walk by and they just seen the end of the fight. And they're going, you were holding your own, Tommy. Maybe 90% of the people who see him scream, hey, Tommy, Tommy. But 10%. And the 10% who don't like him are cowards, right? So they just scowl. So walking down the street with Tommy is fun. He doesn't pay for beers. You know, I barely pay for beers just because I'm standing next to him. And everyone's, you know, ready to rock. It's just like he's the life of the party, the guy himself. Totally devoid of fear. It's like he's had his fear gland removed. He could get attacked. He could see a mob of 50 Muslims coming to kill him. Now, he obviously wouldn't want to die because he doesn't want to deprive his children of a father. But outside of that, he would love to take them all on. That's rare, especially in Britain, because the brave ones left and became America. But there are still some yobs left. There's still some proud boys over in Britain, and they are not happy right now with the old elitist statist state. And it's going to get a lot worse if it doesn't get better. But the funny thing is, too, with them, and I'm sorry to make this such a political ep, the demographics may have made this irrevocable. Most popular baby name in Britain is Muhammad. What do you do now? Deport everyone? The Antifa on the far left think we keep advocating genocide. I've never heard, I've talked to every freak in the world, I've never heard one person ever advocate genocide. I've never even heard them advocate sending them home in ships. Richard Spencer wants a white ethno state, and I said to him how, and he said, we figured out more complex problems before, and then he didn't really get into it. What we just like use every cruise ship in the world to send people to various random countries. What about black and white families? You're separated from your wife, or you get to stay if you promise to wear a V-neck sweater all the time. So no one's mentioned that because it's not logical. And I don't think deporting, well, that's just a stupid idea. It's not worth talking about. But the Muslim problem is a lack of assimilation. They don't seem to like Britain, a large contingent. They tend to create their own neighborhoods and you know, promote Sharia. They, you know, Hispanic Americans and a lot of American immigrants will keep speaking their same language and send their kids to school that teaches that language exclusively, which isn't cool. But they don't really want to replace the laws. But Muslims, they want, you know, many Muslims, a shocking proportion of them, want to replace Western law with Sharia law. That's unusual. I think this is the first time we've. I heard Orthodox Jews do this too. In fact, someone who works at a court sent me this disturbing document where the court was advocating for this trial to happen in a separate Jewish court. Devoid of Western, of American law. I got that document somewhere. It's really bizarre. But that's the only other time I've heard of that. And, you know, Orthodox Jews are a teensy tiny fraction of the population. In Britain, they're a major part of the population. Is this it here? Again, I'm ruining the conversation by looking at something on my phone. Not good for entertainment, you guys. Well, I kind of want to find it so you don't think I'm anti-Semitic or racist or whatever. You see, I'm trying to cover my tracks the way the way Roseanne didn't and lost her show. And you can't accuse... That's the difference between Roseanne and Tommy, too, is obviously his punishment is much more severe. He could die in there. But these two cases is Tommy couldn't be accused of negligence. He did a mundane live stream where he was not going near the courts. He even said allegedly about the rapists, even though they had already been charged. They were just awaiting sentencing. So as Lauren Southern pointed out, it was actually kind of dull to watch his live stream. And that's what got him arrested under a breach of the peace. Roseanne is innocent. I mean, I don't think she meant it in a racist way, but it was also kind of, as the left likes to say, tone deaf. Anyway, it's amazing how unfair a lot of this stuff is. And as we get older as a culture, we get more obsessed with justice, because justice is a luxury of the evolved. You don't hear people in third world countries or just when someone gets brained with a rock demanding justice. We can, because we have a great society. And losing your show for a joke is stupid. I'm not defending the joke itself. I think you should be able to make horrible jokes. But the fact that we live in a culture where the right is so scrutinized and anyone outside of the right can literally get away with murder is unjust. And in Tommy's case, it's shocking and dangerous and scary. And I think it's you know, the left is really bad at this kind of stuff. They always end up making it worse for themselves. And I think this Tommy persecution is going to make Britain a lot angrier, a lot more woke and red-pilled. And I think you're going to see the elites getting away with a lot less after this. It's Britain's been through a lot worse, and all you did was wake up a sleeping giant. Anyway, Roseanne and Tommy. I'm not sure why I decided to put them together in this podcast. Roseanne made a tone-deaf joke and was punished way too hard for it, which is sad because that show was doing a lot of good for America. Tommy, on the other hand, is trying to save Britain and was just persecuted almost illegally for daring to question several Muslim pedophiles. Sorry to get so heavy on this, folks. I promise the next ep will be super funny and cute and very giggly. I like you more than a friend. Tune in to Get Off My Lawn every Monday to Thursday and Monday to Tuesday, depending on the week, on CRTV.com. We also have my show, CRTV Tonight with Gavin McInnes, which is every second Friday. And then, of course, there's this podcast. This one's free. The others cost about a beer a month. I'd like you to check them out. And I'd also like you to get off my lawn.